Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome to another great episode of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is the man that has nothing but Hawaiian shirts in his closet because he wants to be like Tony Schiavone and Bobby the Brain Heenan, JD, Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, man?
I almost said, unlike Tony, my Hawaiian shirt isn't filled with dog hair, but it probably is. So
is Owen and Ellie shedding that much?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you're loving life now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially Ellie. I don't know. I see her white little hairs everywhere all over this house.
But welcome to my goddamn world. Between the two dogs we have now, the one just turned 9, the oldest one, and youngest, the lab, just turned 1. And it's a combination of the white hair from her and then the brown black hair from him. It's like, holy shit, I'm vacuuming like, it seems like 6 times a day. It's unreal.
Well, I'll tell you what gave me white hair is watching this fucking show that we're about
Holy
to
Holy shit, man. There was some good points in this, but it's just like, I tried going back and watching again to prep this before we recorded here. And I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm not watching. I'm not putting myself through this again.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible. And next week, when we go over to 2000, maybe at least it'll be a little bit better, but I doubt it. But at least next week we get to have Poundwater Dave come on with us. So that's always a good thing. It's always a good time. So,
but we'll be in WCW 2000, which is even worse than that.
Right. Right. So at least we'll be able to shit on it a little bit more, but, this week we're going over the, 1999 Bash at the Beach from July 11th, 1999 from the National Car Rental Center in Sunrise, California.
National Car Rental Center. This is where we're at, folks.
Why did that pop you?
I don't know. It just sounds trashy.
I thought I said something wrong. I'm like, I know I fucked it up at the beginning, but fuck. And believe it or not, dude, 13,624 people were at this event. This was 23 years ago.
So one arena, we're at the National Car Rental Service Arena, and then we're at the Junkyard Car Arena.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, you know? But one guy that should never be in a junkyard is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
All right, so the king of the Hawaiian shirts, Tony Schiavone, is on screen right now. Justin with his, I think, but him and Bobby were great together. It was a two-man booth. I absolutely loved it. And I think they share Hawaiian shirts at this time, right?
Yeah, actually, for once, I wrote this down. For once, Tony, he has the better Hawaiian shirt than Bobby. Tony's is blue and yellow. It actually looks decent. Bobby's is a little funky. But actually, for once in his life, maybe the only time in his life, Tony Schiavone looked better than Bobby Heenan here with his shirt.
So why do you think Bobby was wearing shades at this time?
Probably because he was drunk, because I would have had to be to cover this fucking show. That's for sure. I did want to mention, though, with these two, Tony and Bobby, I thought they were really bad on this show.
And how so?
I just didn't. It was missing the third man in the booth. There was awkward moments between Tony and Bobby during the show. I just didn't like it. I thought both of them were bad during this show.
Do you think Bobby just didn't give a shit?
For sure.
And do you think, I think at this time, Tony still kind of gave a shit, but kind of didn't. Because 99 at this time, I think the writing was pretty much on the wall here. Obviously, next week when we go over 2000, it's definitely the shit show that it was. But I think there was still some good parts of WCW in 99. Obviously, it was far and few in between, but still.
But we open up and Tony is doing his best to put over a tag team match for the world title. That's how we open this show. Right. And right from then on, you know, this show is going to be shit.
Well, and if that didn't give you any inclination, you have Mike Tenay on scene of the very first Junkyard Invitational for the Hardcore Championship. So, a little context to this, guys. So if you guys haven't been following the show or you haven't followed WCW between, we'll say, 96 to now, Mike Tenay was known as the man that would be Mr. Cruiserweight, Mr. Foreign Wrestlers. He would come in every time for the cruiserweight matches. He would basically give insightful notes for guys like Eddie Guerrero, Juventud Guerrera, Rey Mysterio, all those big name cruiserweights, all those foreign wrestlers that we'd see coming over from Japan or Germany, wherever. And now you have him in the fucking Junkyard Invitational match for the Hardcore Championship. Who booked this shit?
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane. And even before we go to Mike Tenay in the Junkyard, which is...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Even before that, we have Mean Gene who comes out on the ramp and he tells us there are people here that you wouldn't believe. Call 1-900-909-9900 and he's just being lazy now. I mean, that's how he sells it. There's people here that you wouldn't believe.
I don't know, man. I don't get it. And I'm trying to stay as positive as I can with this whole show. And I really was trying to not shit on it in the notes. But as you can tell,
we don't even get out of the opening without shitting all over it.
You have Disco. Well, we might as well get into the first match here. We have Disco fucking Inferno taking on Ernest Miller with Sonny Ono. Dude, how drunk would Sonny Ono have to be in this fucking match associated with his match?
Terrible opening. I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a chance. What's the first match? Ernest Miller versus Disco. And I write, okay, it's already terrible. As soon as we get into the first match, it's already terrible.
As soon as you see the fucking red shoes in the middle of the ring, you know it's going to be a shit show.
I mean, we have a dance-off to start the match. You know, Ernest wins. Nothing to write home about. It is what it is.
Meltzer gave this a half a star.
Just think about this. 2 years ago, Bash at the Beach, we're probably opening with Ray versus Eddie or...
Mm-hmm.
Jericho versus Dean Malenko. Instead, now we're opening with Ernest Miller and Disco Inferno.
My, have the mighty have fallen when you have to rely on Disco fucking Inferno to start this pay-per-view on a good note. And for those of you that know me, I would rather pour hot coffee in my eyeball than watch a Disco Inferno match.
The only good thing about this match was instead of his regular boring orange, he was in neon green, which I kind of appreciated. But other than that, it's
and he doesn't have he's the kind of wrestler that would have tights that would say juicy on the ass.
Well, it was a dump truck. I remember it sticking out back there.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So as bad as that match was, and that was bad, Meltzer gave it a half a star. Holy fuck balls. This next match was even worse. You have Rick Steiner as your WCW World Television Champion taking on Van Hammer. So I love the Steiner brothers. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely love them, but not in 1999. Rick Steiner looked like your dad going through a midlife crisis at this time.
I actually thought this was a little bit of a revitalization of Rick Steiner in 99-2000, and I kind of liked it because I just felt like they were putting more spotlight on him than they ever had before as a single, which I liked. But why does Van Hammer have a TV title match on pay-per-view? This should be on WCW Saturday Night, where all Van Hammer matches belong.
Pretty much. Or he's the... Van Hammer is like the movie equivalent of a movie that should go directly to video.
It's just terrible, bro. And actually, I watched this match and I thought, okay, let's see how bad he fucks it up. It was actually serviceable for a Van Hammer match.
Well, fuck, you had 3 minutes and you would think it would have to be in 3 minutes, but there's no DQ. How is this say it's no DQ. It's freaking low blow galore here. And I just, don't get me wrong, I love Rick Steiner, but not in this era. I may be the minority, but like I said, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't get either one of these guys over. And, you know, Brian Haremza brings up a good point. He said Van Hammer makes this pay-per-view and gets a title shot. How surprised are you that he is still there and getting the shot?
I mean,
you briefly talked about it.
Extremely. When I was watching this, when I looked at the card for this match and I see Van Hammer has a TV title match on a pay-per-view, I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? Is this where we're at?
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, did anyone really think Van Hammer was going to beat Rick Steiner for the TV title? Like, and if so, we've got issues, like major issues.
See, Van Hammer's already coming at you too with these alerts, but you know, Van Hammer, it's just, I liked him in the Flock. He is a faction wrestler. He's not a singles wrestler. Put him in like a faction somewhere and people forget about him. Mm-hmm. That I get. Here it's like, what the fuck? This got a dud rating from Meltzer, so obviously Meltzer feels the same way we do about this match.
Mean old Dave.
Uncle Dave actually agrees with us, but short matches, man. Because well, you know,
not all of them on this card were
well,
short.
This next
one was.
Well, this next one is another 3-minute match. You got David Flair as your United States champion. Yes, I said David Flair, United States champion, taking on Dean Malenko. Oh, God.
At least it was short. I always hated the David Flair crap because you could tell, even me as a ninth grade slapdick, whatever I was, that this dude is not a wrestler. Mm-mm. He hasn't went through the proper training and everything to be a wrestler. This is someone that's getting shoved up to the top because some asshole at the top of WCW decided this would be a good idea to put Rick's son in this angle. Rich and now here we are months later and they're trying to turn him into a regular fucking wrestler and he's not. And I understand like he started training and whatever, but it's like, it almost felt like the training came after the push.
Well, but the thing is, and it's nothing against him. It's just, I just did not give two shits about David Flair right now.
No.
And it's so hard because I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure of it. But He is not, like you said, he is not a wrestler.
And here's the thing. This is around the time when WCW lost all credibility with all the fans. Mm-hmm. You put the world title on David, his name?
David Arquette.
David Arquette. I almost said David Spade, which would have been even funnier. They should.
Oh my God. The bell would be fucking bigger than him. Fuck.
But David Arquette and David Flair and what other slapdick David they can run in there. But
Silva
titles. Yeah. You might as well put the tag titles on Silva and Cassio at this point, because you're shitting all over your titles.
So what would their title, what would their tag team name be? Silva and Cassio.
Oh God. There's all good, kinds.
Good, all good, kinds and, good, and good and plenty.
The mashed potato mashers.
Here you go. Who shat on the floor? Yeah. So we'll get in the weeds in this because this is shit. Speaking of shit, Skyline Chili, man. We've been constantly being told that we don't talk and shit on Skyline Chili as much. It's that time of the year. We're starting to go to football season.
Well, it's funny you brought this up. I have a really good point for this.
Okay.
The Bengals yesterday announced that they are selling the name rights to Paul Brown Stadium. Come on now. Skyline Chili Field at Paul Brown Stadium. It rolls right off the tongue.
And I have the slogan for you. Skyline Chili. It'll give you the shits and soul our team.
Hey. Well, I mean, listen, I saw some socks yesterday that had Bengals logo. They're orange tall socks that had the Bengals logo on them, and they had a plate of Skyline Chili on them too. And I think I'm going to be purchasing that for myself. And I'll probably show up to Top Guy Weekend wearing those for anyone that would like to see.
And for those of you that will be at Top Guy Weekend, I will actually be stealing those out of Justin's hotel room and wiping my ass with them, because that's what I think of Skyline Chili. I will give you your just due. I am not totally anti Cincinnati Bengals. I think they are a decent team. It just won't happen when the Bills come to town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We saw how well they did against the Chiefs last year, a team that the Bengals beat twice last season. Twice.
I'm just saying, well, hey, I've been saying it for the last fucking 30 years. It's our year this year.
Not only did we beat them in Cincinnati to clinch our playoff spot, we then travel to Kansas City and put that smackdown on a little ass. So to go to the Super Bowl. Josh Allen, was crying about a coin flip.
Yeah, well, he won't be. The only people to be crying this year will be the city of Cincinnati when they get it pushed in by the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game this year. Because honestly, dude, that's what I see. I see Cincinnati and Buffalo in the AFC Championship, because I think Kansas City's missing some key components as compared to last year. So anyways, this is a wrestling podcast. We still talk about wrestling sort of, but Uncle Dave gave that match a negative star. So it makes sense. And Devin Dolling wanted to make sure that we shit on David Flair for 60 or for 90 seconds. So hopefully that was enough for you, Devin, but you overachieving son of a bitch that you are. Is Devin Dowling the David Flair of ad-free shows?
Yeah.
Have you seen pictures of his fiance?
Yes.
Okay. And on top of that, if that isn't enough, his roommate, for those of you that aren't watching or aren't seeing me right now, I'm doing air quotes by roommates. How the fuck does he has a female roommate that, yeah, just, we'll just leave it at that. Because I'll just get myself in trouble if I go any farther. And I really don't want to do that, because Devin is a, goddamn, Devin, I will actually come up to you and give you a goddamn hug at Top Guy Weekend, because we'll just leave it at that. You overachieving son of a bitch that you are. So let's get those shirts made, Brad or Coach Rosie. Devin Dowling, the David Flair of ad-free shows.
He really is.
He's got to be. Honestly, I don't, unless, I don't want to give Josh his just due, but Josh definitely outkicked his coverage with his lovely bride, and so did John Hickson, and holy fuck. You've seen pictures of Josh or John's wife. John's wife is definitely way out of his league. So I'll tell you
the most amazing one of the whole group. I mean, the fact that this fucker kicked out of his field goal area because his legs are about 12 inches long. Fucking Dave Silva.
Oh, Mrs. Oh, God. Yeah, definitely. Or we can even, but even.
And even, Cassio Kidd qualifies in that. And well, we can Conrad Thompson.
And we can even throw Poundwater Dave into there too. Because Mrs. Was Stephanie. She's a lovely person. I don't know what the hell she sees in Dave. Probably free Doritos, but still.
She's paying a high price for those Doritos.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No. Anyways, we can ask Dave that next week when we have him on. But so back to wrestling. Yay, wrestling.
Talk about anything with this fucking
dude. I knew this week was going to be a shit show, and we're going to be in the weeds so fucking often that we needed some sort of this stuff to talk about. But Kurt Hennig is backstage with Master P. Let that sink in. Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, former Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, former AWA Heavyweight Champion, is backstage with Master P. Okay. Rap is indeed crap. And we're going to see that in our next match. We have the No Limit Soldiers. That is Conan, Rey Mysterio, that is unmasked, Swole. No, not that Swole. Go and, Google.
And B.A. Brad fucking Armstrong. Now, if anyone should be in the rap group, it's Brad Armstrong.
Jesus fucking Christ. I love Brad Armstrong. I absolutely. Too. I love the whole Armstrong family.
But I think I'd rather him be a Rachna man than be in a rap group.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Yeah, I'd rather be a Spider-Man knockoff than B.A. Brad Armstrong and the No Limit Soldiers. Jesus effing Christ. It's just like.
Can we bring back the goddamn Candyman?
How many times can WCW kick Legends of the Ring in the nuts? So many times.
He should have been the Candyman here. I mean, that would have went cool with the rap group. He could pass out candy while he's rapping.
Or just call him like 50 cents or something. I don't fucking care. And then on the other side, you have the West Texas Rednecks.
He was the candy man. They could call him Tootsie Roll.
Dude. Yes. but to have Brad Armstrong as part of the No Limit Soldiers, it would make more sense to put him as part of the West Texas Rednecks.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, put Kurt Hennig in the No Limit Soldiers. Can you imagine that bullshit?
It just as much sense as Brad Armstrong.
Fuck. Jesus Christ. And you got Barry Windham over here. He's the freaking former stalker in the WWF. Kendall Windham. So you got the Windham brothers. You got Bobby Duncan Jr. and Kurt Hennig, the West Texas Rednecks.
Bobby Duncan.
Bobby Duncan. Holy shit.
That would have went good with the gimmick, Bobby.
Oh, my fucking Lord. So.
And this is a match that went way too fucking long.
But the thing about it is
everyone had to get eliminated one by one. It was a 4-on-4 tag match.
You have an 8-man tag. You have to, it's going to be, and this actually got a star and a half from Uncle Dave. How the fuck? And I think the only reason why this got a star and a half is because you had legitimate wrestlers in this match. I will give you that. But
I think it was kind of like the finish where Rey Mysterio stood up on the Swole's
shoulders
and then did a big splash off of that. That was kind of cool, but
it's just you could have made this so much fucking better without the names of the factions.
I just felt like it was way too long for
me.
I was like, when
it was overbooked. It was overbooked, is what it was. because
it's
it was
probably
just
in the right spot on the card, I felt like, but just, yeah, okay. Another miss, swing and a miss.
So Brad Stanton actually made, kind of submitted a question to this to kind of make us shit on this show or shit on this match even more. He asked, I love the West Texas Rednecks. Let's bring this faction back. Who are the new members? And Justin, don't give me that I don't watch bullshit because we know you do. And we know that you know enough, he says.
Who said that, Plaid Brad?
Plaid Brad. And he, oh, and did you see his comment about it? Thank you for bringing Plaid Brad back.
Yeah. Okay, so he's asking me who would be in
West Texas Rednecks. So you have four. How many did you get? Four of them. Okay.
Okay.
So four West Texas Rednecks.
And I can pull them out of any promotion, right?
Sure. At that time. Don't. It can't be current. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck it. Let's do it current.
I thought he was saying current. No.
Let's do it current. Let's do it current. Fuck it. It would make it better. Current. Four. Okay. Four.
Hangman Adam Page.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah. This is actually quite difficult.
Yeah, I told you.
How about FTR? I put FTR with Hangman.
So there's three. Okay, you need one more.
And I'm trying to think of someone from over on that other show that's got some old creepy man fucking interns left and right. Who would be good over? Who do you think? Who would be good over on WWE's side?
How about Baron Corbin?
Oh God,
he would make it. He would make it as difficult as possible.
You know what? How about this? How about Brock Anderson? Throw him in there as the fourth member.
Amy. Please DM Justin at JD2040 or text message or whatever. You can give him smoke signals. That is the stupidest. And don't get me wrong, I love you to death, Justin. Go get
me wrong. Anderson could be the enforcer for the West Texas Rednecks.
Brock Anderson and the West Texas Rednecks makes as much sense as Kurt Hennig and the West Texas Rednecks. He is the least.
He has a beard.
A beard too, but I'm not a redneck.
Hey, ask stupid, play stupid games, get stupid.
I blame Brad. I blame Brad. So okay, so here are my four: Adam Page, Dustin Rhodes.
Oh yeah,
Baron Corbin. Just because, yeah. And I can't think of a fourth. I had it and I lost it. Oh, shit. And Josh Alexander. He's Canadian, but oh, well.
You know,
because I wanted you to do the voice.
You know, Vince tried to make me a cowboy. I always said, you know, I'm from Canada. And, you know, and where I come from, you got to be a real cowboy to call yourself a cowboy.
Oh, goddamn, son. Anyways, so we got to move on for that. My head hurts. And speaking of my head hurts, we have the Junkyard Invitational up next. So I'm going to run down who's in this match. And it'll probably take me longer to say who's in this match than, you know, the credit we're going to give the match. So Fit Finley's going to end up winning it. You have Cyclopay, Jerry Flynn, Johnny Grunge, Hardcore Hack, a.k.a. the Sandman, Horace Hogan, Brian Knobs, Hugh Morris, La Parca, Steven Regal.
I love that Steve Regal's in this match.
Wait for it. You have Rocco Rock, Silver King, Dave Taylor, and Mike Whipwreck. So.
Can I ask a question?
I encourage questions.
This is a legitimate question. How about this now? I'm no fucking booker. All right.
Evidently. But
Steven Regal, last time I checked, he was pretty good in the ring. How about we don't waste his talents in a fucking junkyard?
Or how about Dave Taylor?
Put Hammer in that fucking match and put Regal in the match for the TV title. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Waste,
That makes
Hammer,
sense.
Van Hammer him. Should be in this match so we don't have to watch him sing.
Well, you know, fucking Disco Inferno and what's his nuts? The Cat should be in this fucking match too. That makes more sense for those two schmucks to be in here.
So we watch way too long of people fighting on cars, and then there's an explosion. One of the cars just blow up randomly. And because of that, Fit Finley is able to escape because he was on the other side of the explosion. So he crawled over the fence. And then Tony is selling the fact that no one else could catch him because of the explosion. See, that's how he won. What great writing. What fantastic writing.
So Brian Haremza has a question for us about this match. He says, the Junkyard Invitational, how crazy was this match? And are you surprised they actually pulled it off? Well, I wouldn't really say they pulled it off.
That's subjective.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say they pulled it off. I would say they actually made the match work for what it was. They pulled it off.
Here's the thing. It wasn't live. It was taped.
Correct.
So if you can't pull a taped segment off, then what the hell are we doing here? Because you get to redo it if you fuck it up. So, I mean, but even with that, it was terrible. It should have never been an idea. I mean, I get concept matches.
Sure.
I mean, hell, the Giant got threw off of a building and then came back later that night. So WCW just never seems to do it. Like the way WWE did stuff like the Boiler Room Brawl with Undertaker, Mankind, or whatever. And they did concept stuff pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
WCW could never, ever, ever pull off anything when it comes to this type of shit.
Yeah, no doubt. So as much as a shit show that match was, this next match, honestly, this was my favorite match on the card. If I had to pick one to watch again, it was going to be this one. It's a Jersey Triad, Diamond yes. Dallas Page,
it is
Chris
the best
Canyon,
match on the card.
And Bam Bam Bigelow. And they actually, they kind of use the Freebird rule here, which I kind of like. Any two of them taking on Perry Saturn and Chris Benoit for the WCW World Tag Team Championship. Decent long match, 23 minutes and 17 seconds. It's kind of a different type of match
it's different from all the other matches on the card because this was actual wrestling.
And it was actually good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was a 3.5-star match from Uncle Dave. How Chris Canyon and Bam Bam Bigelow in 1999. I wish they would have done a lot more with them. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Diamond Dallas Page really went out on a limb to really get Canyon and Bigelow as part of a faction at this time.
Yeah, I think so.
He might have mentioned it on his podcast with Jake that.
Well, I guarantee this.
Yeah.
Bischoff or whoever. Nobody ever had any plans for fucking Canyon. No one gave a fuck, which is terrible.
It's terrible because he's so good. And it's he actually has Buffalo ties. He went to the University of Buffalo.
Yeah.
For college. No,
just for his size, unbelievable worker. Bam Bam, same way. Mm-hmm. You know, Bam Bam's a fantastic worker for his size.
He was terribly out of shape at this time. Bam. Yeah. And it showed because I think that's why they made it a Freebird rule for them, because any two of them could do it.
Yeah.
And even on, let's not discredit on the other side with Benoit and Perry Saturn, obviously two of the better workers, but it's like, okay, they were on their way out anyways. They were on their way up north in a matter of a few months to a year. So you knew what their process was going to be. But Devin Dowling, the overachiever son of a bitch that he is, Mr. David Flair of Ad Free Shows, asks, does putting the tag titles in a handicap lower the worth of the titles?
No, I think that's...
I think it elevates it more, to be honest with you.
I think that's overthinking. over-criticizing. Yeah. I don't think people give a fuck. People don't think, oh, that was 3-on-2, then the world... Like, who thinks that? Who connects that? Oh, then I'm not going to care anymore about the tag titles because it was 3-on-2. Like, I don't think that's a thing. I think that's just... Sometimes I think wrestling fans overanalyze things like that and think about it too much. Like, no, I don't think it does. I think that's...
They overthink it too much.
And let me say this. If it does for people, then they need to chill. You know what I mean? Like, who cares? It's fucking pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. We had a tag match for the world title in this thing.
Oh, fuck. Do we have to go over that? I really don't want
does
to.
That, we do. Does that cheapen the world title? Well, now I can actually get an argument for that. But, you know, 3-on-2 in a tag match, no, I don't think that's anything. And it's been done lots of times. Like you said, the Freebirds and multiple tag teams have kind of had that. The Demolition.
Von Erichs, possibly.
So, I mean, it's happened in the past.
Yeah. So we're going to briefly talk about this next match. Well, it wasn't really a match, but and then get to the main event so we can actually get this show moving as much as we possibly can. You have Buff Bagwell taking on Roddy Piper, excuse me, in a boxing match. Yes. Let's sink that in. Buff Bagwell with Judy Bagwell.
Piper has experience at boxing matches.
But they fucking have him lose. It's like, what the fuck? Anyways, half a star.
I couldn't tell who the heel and baby face was.
I don't think anybody really gave a shit, to be honest with you.
I mean, because
Mills Lane in this as a special referee. So what the fuck does that say?
I would have just started biting. I mean, apparently he don't care. He let fucking Tyson bite Holyfield twice before he canceled it.
So I
would have grabbed him by the, you know, as Donald Trump would say, grab him by the balls, yank it. Mills ain't gonna fucking count you out.
It was great to see him in there as being the legendary boxing referee that he was, but I just could have done without it.
No, and he came out in a judge's thing, like Judge Judy, because he had his new judge show. Like, how does that equate? How do you go from being a referee, a boxing referee? All you got to do is count to 10 or like disqualify someone for biting an ear, possibly. This dude is now a judge. Like, that makes me question the whole legal system in this country. I mean, I'm a basketball referee. Can I be a judge now? Is that how that works?
Why not? Why not? And it just, I don't know. It's just, if he can be a referee, this pay-per-view can actually be good then.
Well, like you said, this whole thing was confusing. I couldn't tell the face and the heel in this match. I didn't know why we were doing it. Judy Bagwell putting something on Piper's head. Mm-hmm. So that Piper can job to Marcus Bagwell. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
And speaking of what the fuck are we doing, our main event of this pay-per-view is Randy Savage and Sid Vicious taking on Kevin Nash, your heavyweight champion, and Sting for the World Heavyweight Championship. So we have a tag match for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship.
And the only way you can win this World Heavyweight Championship is if Kevin Nash gets pinned, correct?
Correct.
So if Sid gets pinned, if Macho Man gets pinned,
it doesn't matter.
It don't count. So guess who's getting pinned? It would only make sense for Kevin Nash to get pinned.
Correct.
And guess who gets pinned? Kevin Nash by the Macho Man with help from Sid. And yeah. Gorgeous George turned on Nash to help Macho Man at the end. That's the big story out of this.
So it was such a clusterfuck, though, man. I didn't know. I fell asleep halfway through this match. I had to watch it twice to actually like grasp the absurdity that this match was. And the sad part about it is these are four of the best workers, best wrestlers of all time. And you put them in this type of fucking match. What the fuck? I'm pretty sure Bischoff wasn't even booking at this time.
No, I don't think
he was out in Wyoming hunting and fishing and grilling and all that good stuff.
It's not like he would have done any better. I mean, we've seen his fucking
It would have been better than this, though.
I mean, come on. Starrcade 97. Show me what you got there, Bish.
Here's Anyways.
The Here's the problem. WCW, as a group, for years, couldn't book their main event finishes. They could never figure it out. And I don't know. Just shows you how important Pat Patterson was to Vince, because WCW never had a Pat Patterson.
And it's very, as much as they tried.
It was very obvious when you watched the end of their pay-per-views.
So I saved this for the end. Money Mike is back. He's been very busy doing whatever the fuck he does.
Writing syllabuses for these poor fucking kids that have to be in his class. But go ahead.
I'm just impressed that they know how to read in general. But anyways, he says, it appears that this event was held at the same venue as the WWF Armageddon 1999, later the same year. What does it say
the
about
the state? Arena.
Yeah. What does it say about the state of the wrestling business in this era that one city held two pay-per-views in the given year? It's called advertising. Because you have an arena like the National Car Rental Arena / the Bingo Hall / whatever the fuck it
was. I wonder if all the wrestlers got free rental cars to the arena for this show.
I doubt it.
I doubt it too.
You can have free rental cars, but no collision.
Well, don't let Tony Schiavone or Dave Solo fucking drive them.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know what he's asking me. Is it special that Fort Lauderdale had two pay-per-views in a year?
Pretty much.
No, it's not. There's the answer. Bye, Mike.
All right, then. Well, I guess that sums up the this episode, and we can't get any much better than that, folks. So see you next time.
He's been spending too much time writing that syllabus and not enough time thinking about having good questions for the show. That's the problem.
I'm sorry, Michael, but whatever. Yeah. I can't make him any better. But anyways, let's try to get this show somewhat better. Let's bring in Elijah to hit the button.
That was Bash at the Beach 99. That was fun. Please never make me watch that ever again. That's got to be one of the worst shows we've watched, and we've watched some bad ones.
Yeah, well, hopefully Elijah can make it a little bit better.
Yeah,
let's hit that button. Let's get the music. Having two successful podcasts, having a job that I'm up for at 4:30 in the morning, having a family, having a 10-year-old son that I want to go outside and play ball with each and every day, I needed a lot of energy. And I wanted to stay fit at the same time. And I really didn't want to take, this pill or that pill or all these different pills that'll cost me hundreds of dollars. But thanks for a great new sponsor, AG1 by Athletic Greens, I don't need to do any of that. Just with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced superfoods, as well as probiotics, to help you start your day right. This is a special blend of ingredients to support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, and you recover and you focus so much better with AG1 from Athletic Greens. And the best part about it is it costs you less than $3 a day. It's cheaper than getting all those different supplements from the store, all these different pills. It is just simply fantastic. And right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with confident daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. To make it even easier, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune support vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Thanks to our friends over at athleticgreens.com.
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
All right, so we got four additions again this week, Justin. So we're going to get to within five. This is going to get us up to 95 entrants into our rankings for Wrestling with Music. And you know what? I'm making the executive decision for next episode. Let's get five. So we can just get to this 100 and get it over with.
Okay.
So we have four this week. Justin, what did you want to add this week?
Well, I've been thinking, since we're running out of time here before we get to 100, and I've been thinking, what have we not covered? And this is one of them. I think this is a song that most people would not expect me to pick. However, it is a banger. Let her rip.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
I will bring that down. So the time that it was, I'm thinking it's got to be fairly high.
Yeah, I mean, because it's recognizable. Song. I had this, the WWE CD, whatever, with this song on it. Played this song a lot. I like that it has that little buildup, and then it goes into it when they, and usually they wouldn't come out until that little beginning was over, and then break it down hits and then they come out. So it's good for that. Obviously, it's when I think of this song, I think of the added, like this song kind of ushered in the Attitude Era.
Sure.
So yeah, I would put it probably around 19, maybe somewhere in 19 to where you're at there, around 19 to 22.
I'm thinking 23 right underneath Edge, to be honest with you. Okay. Well, you know what? Or we could do it at 22 and bump Edge down. Because I think Jericho's at 21. I think that's a little bit more of...
Break the walls down.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can put him at 22. Put the Edge at 22.
Yeah. All right. So our next one is actually going to come from Mike Whitaker. He actually had to step up on a stool to actually DM me this because he's so small and is, yeah, whatever. So,
hey, I'm not going to shit on Mike Whitaker. You know why? Even though he wants to talk shit about Skyline Chili.
And rightfully so.
I'm going to ignore it. I want to show you something that Mike Whitaker sent me in the mail this week.
I don't get anything from Mike Whitaker. What the fuck?
Look at that. WWE Spotlight. Magazine from probably 1990, somewhere in there. And it's got Jim and Brett, the Hart Foundation, on there.
Well, how cool is that? So,
thank you, Mike Whitaker.
What the fuck? What the hell do I got to do? Jesus
Christ. I got that, and I got a Bret Hart stool from Little Jimmy. I mean, I've just been receiving all kinds of flowers here from the
what the hell? People. The hell have you done for him? Jesus Christ.
I don't know, really.
What the fuck do I gotta do? Goddamn, son.
Maybe grow some hair. I don't know.
I got hair, just not on my head. Anyways, another guy that doesn't have any hair on his head, but he has it on his face is Stone Cold Steve Austin. So let's hit the music.
You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Stop, no, I'll let you live a little bit.
All right, I gotta stop it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had to. I love Stone Cold Steve Austin. As you know, Justin, two of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kurt Angle. And you can even throw Chris Jericho in there. Three of my favorite wrestlers of all time. This did not do it for me.
No, it's here's the thing. Everybody loves the original. And whenever you try to make it like the original, but not, it sucks. Just like fucking Horenza, who's made me listen to that terrible rock song that I never even heard of before.
Yeah.
No, there it is. Rock right Heel 2003, number 79. Thanks, Brian Horenza. It kind of reminds me of that.
So, with that being said,
better than The Rock, though. That rock song fucking sucked. I'm still mad at Brian Horenza for making me listen to that.
So, with that being said, that's exactly where I was going to go with that. I would put it just above The Rock Heel in 2003. And we'll put this at 79.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because I get why they did it, because they wanted him to be the heel. It's a different aspect, but he was a heel before with the same music.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is the difference? You know, if he's good there, if they're going to like him, they're going to like him. If they're not going to like him, who gives a shit? Fucking hell. I got thanks, Mike, for giving me a fucking headache on top of this goddamn pay-per-view. But hey, if you want to send me anything Stone Cold Steve Austin or Kurt Angle.
The Spotlight magazine got over way better than the song, Mike.
Oh, fuck yeah. Jesus Christ. But thank you for adding that. But my addition this week is to the much of the chagrin of some individuals that were named nameless. You know who you are. So I'm adding a song that was a hell of a lot better than what we just heard. Rap Is Crap by the West Texas Rednecks.
I like country music.
I love country girls.
I like Willie Nelson.
And don't forget about Pearl. There's only one thing that I hate. Because it's a bunch of crap.
I hate rap.
I like NASCAR racing. Richard Petty's still the king. Yeah, they call me a redneck. But you know that's a beautiful thing. There's only one thing that I hate, cause it's a bunch of crap.
I hate rap.
All right, I won't let you suffer anymore with that. Come on, man. I was dancing over here.
The song is terrible, but that's why it got over. Fans actually liked it and sang it when they came out. And you could even see it in this pay-per-view. The fans were like putting it over. So I think they knew it was supposed to be bad and they kind of embraced it as being good.
Well, it was so bad it was good. That's a thing.
I think that's why it gets points for me, but it's still bad. I would put it above any of these though.
I would honestly, let's see what's because I can't remember what the hell's. I would put it right above Austin. The Disturbed. Put it at 70, keep that at 79. Or honestly,
I would put it at 77 right behind Jim Ross.
Okay, that's good. Rap is crap, but it's hell of a lot better than Stone Cold Steve Austin Disturbed. But I love Disturbed though. That's a problem. Did I just screw that up? No, I didn't. Okay.
Semi.
Rap is crap. All right. So, and I think this next one. You added this to the list because I'm surprised we haven't done this one before, Justin. I really am.
I am too. This is another banger, though. And this one, I mean, this song gets points because I see it on GIFs when like people are running around going crazy. They put this right. song behind it. And so it just works for that.
So let's hit the music. Bring it down there. So what Jim I want
Johnson at his best, bro. Jim Johnson just coming up with the perfect theme for the Ultimate Warrior. I've always loved that song, man. It's just when that first drum beat would hit and Warrior come fucking running out of there, it worked.
You know, but it got over because fans like you and I grew up in that era. I said it before, I said it again, that white cassette tape with the blue writing, that was one of the songs on it. That's one of the songs that you listen to time and time again. It's a song that, along with like Triple H, The Game, with like Ric Flair, that they play it at sporting events. They play it in the locker room. They play it all over the place. So I'm thinking it's got to be at least in the top 15, at least that.
Yeah, me too.
I would put it at 13, if not higher.
I think I'd put it at 12. I put it right in front of the game.
In front of Triple H?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can get with that. Just under Ric Flair there?
Yep.
So what I'm going to do, I'm calling audible here because I don't want to do 5 next week. I want to do 5 this week. And I'm doing this specifically for some certain listeners that said that this song should have been on our rankings before because it's a banger. So I'm not going to tell anybody who it is. I'm just going to play it. Is our fifth edition that is Batista, and why is the only this is the entrance theme to the money man himself, Michael McClanahan. He walks alone in this pit of anger. You do realize he's going to knock some heads around. I have a feeling that's going to be his entrance theme. He'll walk into Top Guy Weekend to that theme.
Well, here's what I think about this theme. It sounds very much like 2005 or 6 to me, like Orton's music. Like it all sounds like Hinder or something from like
Saliva.
Yeah.
No, Saliva sang that.
Oh, so okay. But yeah, it just kind of all, I don't know. It's okay. It's good. I don't think I would rank it in the top 25, but.
You don't think so?
No, like I said, it just sounds so much.
I would put like it, how about that. This? I would put it right under, how about right under Mark Henry at 32? Or is that, you think that's still too high?
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at those songs underneath of it. I love Eddie's WCW stuff. I love Nakamura's music. Maybe after Nakamura at 35.
Or even how about under RVD at 37?
Okay.
You think so?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. And I totally forgot who was giving us crap for not having that on there too. Do you remember?
I do not.
I'm sure we'll get, when this airs tomorrow, we'll get crap.
Been ranked.
So we are at 4 more to get us to 100. So hit us up on Twitter at @ringsiderant or at JD2040 and let us know what two songs you want us to put on our list to get us to 100, because Justin and I will do one next week and we'll get with Pound Water Dave too. So let us know what one song you want added to this list, because myself, Justin, and Dave will add 3 more to this list. We need one more from all of you guys there to add to this list.
And I mean, we might take more than one, because I might just use mine as one of the fans' picks. So,
well, that's true. That's fine too. Either way, whatever gets us to 100, I really don't care at this point, because we're going to have to chat about it, obviously, offline to figure out what we want to do next time for our rankings. I know we've been spitballing a few things around, Justin, to what we're going to rank next week, because this has really been, you know, the glue that's kept the show together. When we've had shows like the one we just did, that's been the absolute dog shit. Wrestling with Music really helped us get through this. So if you guys have any suggestions on what we want to do, I know we've been talking about finishers. We've been talking about other things too. I know I have a list going too, so I don't know exactly what we're going to be doing. But we'll keep everybody apprised of that. Going forward. So with that being said, just next week, like I said, throughout the show, we're going to be going over to 2000 Bash at the Beach. Poundwater Dave will be back. So we're looking forward to having him back on. Man, it's going to be interesting, man. Hopefully we won't have another shit show like we did this week. I'm sure we will, but I'm trying to stay positive.
I don't even want to look ahead to that card next week.
So
I'm sure it'll be terrible.
So to give a little context to it, I actually will tell you the card right now. I have to boot it up. We're actually at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach,
the
Florida.
Ocean Center. That's better than the Rent-A-Car Center. So
what's better than that? So we have Lieutenant Loco, aka Chavo Guerrero, taking on Juventud Guerrera in the opening match for the Cruiserweight Championship. You have Big Vito taking on Norman Smiley and Ralphus in a handicap match for the Hardcore Championship. You have Daphne with Crowbar taking on Stacy Keebler, aka Miss Hancock, in a wedding gown match.
See Stacy, I'm for that.
You have Chronic, Brian Adams, and Brian Clark taking on the Perfect Event, which is Son Stasiak, the Good Doctor, and Chuck Palumbo for the WCW Tag Team Championships. You have Chris Canyon taking on Booker T. You have Mike Awesome taking on the United States Champion Scott Steiner.
Canyon and Booker T could be good.
Oh, yeah. So
Scott Steiner against who? Big Papa Pump.
Mike Awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's when Mike Awesome was there. Okay.
Yeah, and then you have Vampiro taking on the Kiss Demon in a graveyard match.
No, I don't want to watch it.
Well, tough shit, you're going to.
I hate the band Kiss, and I definitely hate the Kiss Demon. I feel like that's all Tony Schiavone's fault.
Probably.
Because he has terrible taste in music, and that's his favorite band. So
we'll have Shane Douglas taking on Buff Bagwell. The only good thing about this match is Torrey Wilson. And then we have one of the most iconic.
They should have had a Torrey Wilson on a pole match, not a Judy Bagwell on a pole match.
And fucking Billy Kidman. And then you have one of the most iconic happenings in WCW this time. This is when Jeff Jarrett literally laid down in the middle of the ring for Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have the Goldberg versus Kevin Nash match.
Yep.
And then the main event for the WCW Heavyweight Championship, Jeff Jarrett, ain't he great, taking on Booker T.
It's So Booker T has two matches?
No.
Huh?
Jeff Jarrett does.
Well, Booker T, you said, was fighting Canyon. Is that not right?
Yes. Booker T has two matches and Jeff Jarrett has two
matches. And Jeff Jarrett has two matches. Okay, well, if they both have two matches, I guess it's kind of fair.
But you also have to keep...
But Jeff Jarrett's match, he just laid down, so that doesn't...
It's still technically a match, though. The bell rang, ding, ding, ding. Lay down, one, two, three, ding, ding, ding.
That fucking Jarrett. He
still
always,
technically a match.
He's a fucking weasel. He always figures it out.
Figures it out, but whatever. Anyways... That's going to be a good match or good show next week. But thank you for tuning in this week to the show, Justin. What do you got to take him home this week?
Training camp starting up, baby. Hoo day, go Bengals!
And as always, Mount all Bills Mafia.